The mayor of Toronto is seizing the moment and maybe a chunk of the tech economy.
I think what's happened is events elsewhere have maybe caused people to sort of look at Canada more so than they might have before.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Lots of cities are trying to grow their at-home tech industries. One of those is Toronto. That city's mayor, John Tory, is visiting New York this week, trying to establish an Eastern alliance, if you will, to increase tech investments. And the city recently partnered with a Google subsidiary called Sidewalk Labs to build a billion-dollar mini smart city on the Toronto waterfront. I spoke to Mayor Tory on his New York visit, and I asked him how local the local tech economy is.
Two or three years ago, I would have said there wasn't a big enough investment community locally to fund the startups. But what's happened is that investment community has stepped up. This has also encouraged more startups to stay and grow in Toronto, as opposed to the previous pattern, which was that startups across the region would sell out when they reached a certain stage because they just couldn't scale up. And I think one final thing, which is attracting talent from around the globe. Canada is a very pro-immigration country. This is contrasted with other countries that seem to be turning inward. And we have, for example, established a talent visa that says for highly talented people in the tech field that are needed by growing technology companies, we will turn around a visa for them in a matter of weeks so we can get the best and the brightest people to come to Canada. And this is in contrast to what's going on in some other places in the world.
Mm-hmm. And one development that you just announced last month is that Sidewalk Labs, a subsidiary of Alphabet, formerly known as Google, will pilot the redevelopment of 12 acres on Toronto's waterfront. Can you tell us about that project and how much Sidewalk Labs will drive that development?
Well, they're going to drive it a lot. That's the whole idea. What they're going to bring to this is a whole series of innovations that we hope will turn Toronto into a center for urban innovation that people from around the world can come and see. But it relates to everything from mobility and how we can, you know, get people around to how to construct affordable housing in a more affordable and efficient manner, and a whole host of other things in between.
Although some of the trade-off, of course, is data. In this redevelopment, there will be sensors everywhere sucking up information from noise to air quality to maybe traffic, energy usage. Are you or any of the citizens of Toronto nervous about giving that much information to a corporate entity, especially as there's sort of growing suspicion about these companies and their size and power?
I think nervous would be the wrong word, because that implies that there's some suspicion we have that people are doing, you know, bad things. I think what we have to be, all of us, in every area of life, if you think about it, is just mindful.
Are there privacy protections built into this agreement?
The agreement hasn't been finalized as yet, but we have, you know, what were described to me yesterday, even from an American perspective, as privacy laws that are, you know, among the higher end in the sort of the Western world. And so I think those are always constantly being reviewed. And I'm sure there will be adequate protections built into the contract that the public in the Toronto region would expect.
Now, your office is unfortunately not without controversy. And in fact, when we told people we were preparing to interview the mayor of Toronto, a few of them asked, I'm sorry to report, if it was Rob Ford, who we were speaking to, your predecessor, who got some notoriety for admitting to smoking crack cocaine while in office. Has any of that come up while you have been here? And do you feel like you need to redefine the image of the city in American minds?
Two people have made a joke about it, and you know, the jokes were not malicious in their intent, because Mr. Ford, of course, has passed away in the meantime since he left mm-hmm. the mayor's office. I think there is no question but that the reputation of the city was certainly focused in an area much different than I would have liked. I want people to know about our talent pool, to know about us being one of the most livable cities in the world, as judged by many, many lists. And on it goes. And unfortunately, in prior times, they were much more focused on some of these other things that now no longer are the case. So, being out there is part of making sure that we present the Toronto of today, which is very much changed in many respects, not just in terms of who the mayor is. And so we're going to just go around and make sure people know the facts, most importantly. They'll see the mayor for who he is, in my case, and they can make their own judgment.
Well, and I know you're running for re-election. What's next?
Well, just running for re-election. And in that sense, I just think we've reestablished a degree of stability in the city. We've got this tremendous growth going. The city's definitely on the right track. We're investing in transit and other infrastructure. We're addressing affordable housing. We don't want to give up that stability and go back to some of the chaos that you were alluding to previously, that wasn't just confined to some of the personal issues the mayor had, but it was confined to a general approach, which was combative and all that. So I'm just focused on the job at hand, and you know, we'll see how things go.
That was Toronto Mayor John Tory. Now, several cities have embraced smart city technology: Barcelona, Singapore, Dublin, San Jose, California. In 2015, President Obama pledged $160 million to a smart city initiative. But the Center for Internet and Society at Stanford Law School reports there is almost zero regulation or privacy law anywhere that applies to smart city data collection. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.